praise the Lord. Amen. You can give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's God alone. Amen. And he's our Father. Amen. So thankful for that tonight. Glad to be in the house of God this evening. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service here tonight. Father, we're just thankful, Lord, to be gathered together once again, Lord. Father, we're looking to you, as always, Lord, for our daily bread and, Lord, for everything that we have need of. Lord, we have nothing within ourselves, Lord, but all sufficiency lies within you, Lord, to provide our every need. Lord, and you promised it to us. So, Lord, we look to you tonight. We ask you to speak to us, Lord, from your word. And Father, minister to each one, Lord, each life, Lord. We all need you more and more every day, Lord. Father, as time goes on and the world grows darker and darker, Lord, we need you that much more. And we're getting ready for your soon coming, Lord, and we want to be ready, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, and just ask that you bless your word tonight. Be with each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just turn our into our Bibles tonight. Thank you, physicians. Amen. We're going to read a scripture here out of Matthew chapter 11. Something very familiar to us, I'm sure, but subject we've spoken on many times, but pray it'll be a blessing for us in due season. Amen. Amen. Let's just read this. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." What a precious just words of peace and love, amen, that our Lord's speaking to us. Amen. This gospel is love. It's positive. Amen. And our Lord, He's so good. Amen. We just love his word and we love him. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Just greet you once again in the name of the Lord. And we're glad we can be back here. We miss Brother Eli preaching this weekend about being ready and being prepared. Amen. But I know it's always a blessing. Amen. And I was with Brother Baker. He's still in elk camp up there hunting elk. So tomorrow's his last day. So you just pray for him. As far as I know, he hasn't got one yet. And when I had left and hadn't heard tonight, but he's got one more day to do it. And so you just remember him. But I'll tell you, the main reason he's there is to just recharge. And I believe that God has been blessing him. Amen. Just been enjoying, you know, seeing him get to, you know, at one point he looks at me and he says, you know, hunting can be stressful because you're trying to accomplish this goal and most of the time it's not working. it's a mental game of not giving up because, you know, 99.9% of the time you spend failing until that 1% of the time, and it's all over just like that. But so it's an exercise in patience. But he just turned to me and he says, you know, you're making decisions and you're trying to figure out what to do in here. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't really care. I'm just happy that I'm out here doing something different." So we just you just pray for him. And you know, as he is blessed and recharged, it'll be a blessing to us. Amen. So, amen. We're thankful for that. And just thankful for God's traveling mercies. And I got back late last night, so I'm a little tired myself. Amen. But we're glad to be here with you tonight. Amen. Just enjoying God's blessings. And we're looking forward to the Harvest Festival this weekend. Amen. So each and every one that has worked so hard, and we're looking forward to that time of fellowship with each other. Amen. And just believing God, you know, we do these things so we can, it's a time of growth of the body and just a time to enjoy fellowship with one another. And, you know, we're fellow soldiers. Amen. And, you know, soldiers have to trust each other, and they get in the trenches with each other. And in our case, we pray with each other. Amen. And we're walking this walk together. Amen. We're not alone in this. We appreciate, God has put each and every one in this body for a reason. And so we're walking together, and we're believing that God, we're right where God wants us. And so we look for opportunity to strengthen the bonds, amen, together as brothers and sisters. And so we just believe that that'll be a time of rejuvenation for us. And we're also looking forward to having a guest minister with us this weekend as well. I guess Brother Doug, he hasn't been here, so he hasn't had time to announce that, but do want just to let you know to just be in prayer about that, amen, and believe that that'll be a real blessing to the body of Christ. It matters when you pray, amen, and you can go to battle not just for yourself. It does help you, you know, being in prayer for the services, it helps you be prepared, but it matters, amen. We're like I said before, we're in a battle, and it helps the minister, amen. And you can make a difference by your prayers. So, just encourage you to do that as we have a guest minister coming in, and just believing that God will speak to us, amen. God will put something on His heart just for us. He won't know anything about it, but God knows everything. He knows just what we have need of. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we want to just speak tonight about resting in Christ. And we read this scripture here where Jesus, he gives us this spiritual, this key. Amen. That we can make an exchange. And this is what I love about the Lord, because He doesn't just say, you know, I'm going to give you rest. He says, come unto me and exchange something. You've got a burden. You've got a yoke. You've got something that you're carrying. You trade it with me, and we're going to make an exchange. An exchange for what you're giving up, I'm going to give you my rest. I'm going to give you my yoke. Amen? I just love that about our Lord. Amen? So, simply accepting His offer, coming to Him, we can find rest for our souls. And, you know, I looked up, so that word there, rest, if you look at it in the actual, the word that is used that's translated there, the definition for that word is a word that we don't hear too much, and it's called repose. Anybody heard that before? That's just an older, a term that we don't hear too much in the English language, amen, but it means that rest, it means to repose, okay? So what that means is, you know, the word rest can mean some different things. Rest might be, hey, we're running, or we're hiking, or we're doing some work or something, and we're getting tired, or we're getting out of breath, so we stop to catch our breath, right? We stop to rest. Let me sit for a second and just rest. That could be rest, but that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about catching your breath or taking a quick break. Right. Repose means something completely different. Amen. Repose, this is the definition, okay, from the dictionary. It means to put in a horizontal position. So in other words, to lay down. Amen? To lean in a comfortable resting position. In other words, to kick back. Right? Like in a recliner. Right? To put your confidence in a person or thing. To lie down when dead. Amen? Repose. To put something like trust into something else. It also means freedom from work or strain or responsibility. The absence of mental stress or anxiety. Amen. So that rest is given to those who surrender all leadership and responsibility of their souls, amen, unto the blessed Savior. Hallelujah. You know, repentance means to turn away, right? It means you're going one direction and you turn another. And that's what he's saying to do, right? Where he says, you take your burdens and you give it to me, and I'll give, you take your yoke, give it to me, and I'll give you my yoke, right? You're going one direction and you turn the other direction. He's actually speaking about repentance. Amen? In part, repentance can be part of it. So repentance is turning away from sin, completely casting it down, casting it away, taking your yoke and casting it to him and receiving his peace, his rest. Amen? Receiving his yoke, which is the part that you play. So your yoke is your strength, right? It's doing things your way. Your yoke is your will and your self-determination. You're deciding this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it, and I want this and I want that. That's your yoke. And I'm going to make it happen and I'm going to push through in my strength. That's your yoke. Amen? Taking that and casting away your yoke and receiving his yoke is simply trust and obey. That's the yoke that he gives you. Is for you to say, I trust you and I obey. Amen. Trust and obey. That's the yoke that Christ is offering in exchange for his rest. If you take the yoke of trust and obey, you receive his rest. Amen? If you hold on to your yoke of my way, you won't have his rest. Amen? Hallelujah. So when we do that, we know that when we do that as a believer receiving Christ for the first time, the weight of sin is lifted from us. Amen? But it's not just for one time. Amen? It happens one time, the first time, and our soul is at rest. Amen? But there's a continual surrender that must happen in our lives. Amen? But I want you to think about the weight of the conviction of sin for a second. Because remember, he's speaking to God's people that had been under the law. And under the law, there's conviction of sin. In other words, showing you you're wrong. You're wrong. You're a sinner. You did this. You broke this. But there's no permanent remedy for it. They had a temporary relief from it, but it was just temporary. So they were always under this shadow, under this burden when they were convicted of sin, and they knew they were sinners. There was a constant burden on them. And that's what the Pharisees and the religious leaders prayed on, that burden of sin, that burden of conviction, because they wanted to serve God. And so the weight of it was weighing them down. And that's what Jesus said, I will remove that from you. Yeah. Amen. And you say, well, we're not Jews, we're not under that. You know, but it happens in Christianity where people place a burden on the church, on the person that wants to be free. But they know that they're sinners, but they're under the weight, amen, of the law, and under the weight of knowing that they're not right. But the only way to lift it is to give it to Christ. Amen. To turn and repent. It isn't to go to the Pharisees. The Pharisees couldn't lift that burden. The church can't lift that burden. Amen. No man, no earthly man, no minister, no pastor, no preacher can lift that burden from you. There's only one who can. Amen. And that lifting is a release, listen to this now, is a release of responsibility. Amen. Amen. Yeah, everybody signed those little forms before, right? You go somewhere and they make you, maybe you're going someplace where you're doing some sort of activity and they make you sign a liability of release form, right? You have to sign it. It says, I won't hold this company responsible if I do something dumb and break my neck, right? That's on me. I'm responsible for myself. Everybody's done that, right? Well, this is a lifting of responsibility, a release of responsibility for your soul. Wow. Amen? Right. Well, think about that now, for your soul. Your eternal being.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? What you're saying is, I'm no longer responsible. I'm going to let him be responsible. I'm going to sign it over. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. He's saying exchange. Amen. Give me that. Give me that burden. Let me have that. We sign that release. Lord, I give it to you. I give myself away so you can use me. Amen. Release of responsibility. You, once you've done that, you are no longer responsible for your soul. He's responsible. Amen? Problem is, people keep trying to take back responsibility. Amen. That's why we sing that. Now I belong to Jesus. Amen. Either you belong to him or you don't. Is that right? That's why the scripture says the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is the government? It's the responsible, the ones that with authority. He's the one that has authority and is responsible for his own. Amen. He shoulders that responsibility. He takes that yoke on him. The responsibility to make sure that you make it.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. I think he's capable of it, don't you? I think he's going to make sure that he will not lose one. Why? Because he said so. Amen. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. My Father has given me all his sheep, amen, and he will not lose one. If one goes astray, he'll go after that one. Hallelujah. So we know that rest for the soul is typed in the scripture in the promised land, amen, that Israel would go into the land of rest. And the reason that it's typed that way is because it was a place where they could settle down. It was a place where God would provide for them. It was a place where they would stop wandering. Amen? So let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 3. He says, but whom, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So, in other words, those that failed to enter into the rest, right? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Notice that it says it's his rest. It didn't say, generically, it didn't say the rest or their rest. It's his rest. Amen? But we see that they didn't judge him faithful that had made a promise. He had made a promise. He said, you go in, this is yours, it belongs to you. All you have to do is take it. And it says that they didn't enter in because they believed not. Amen? Their unbelief kept them from entering into his rest. And it's the same tonight. It's our unbelief that keeps us from a place of rest in Christ. Amen? That's what's holding us back. That's the only thing that holds us back. The only thing that keeps you from a promise of God is unbelief. Amen? If you believe it, there's nothing can stop it. The devil just feeds unbelief. Amen? He can try and help you say, oh, but the devil did this. The devil said that. That's what they did in the wilderness. They said, but the giants.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? But we saw the example of those that said, well, I don't care about the giants. I don't care about the devils. I don't care about the enemy that's coming against me so hard. Yes, he's there, but God has said that we have a promise. Yeah. Amen? So it's your faith or your unbelief that determines whether you will enter into rest or not. Whether you even if you're a born-again Christian, whether you will live a life of peace and rest. Right? We're not just talking about being born again. We're talking about living in Christ. Is that right? Their unbelief found something to latch onto. Amen? And that's what happens with our unbelief. It's looking for something to grab a hold of. And the devil's throwing everything he can your way to get you to grab your unbelief to grab a hold of something. It might be symptoms. Amen? And your unbelief says, see, I can point to that. Amen. Their unbelief found a giant to latch onto, and they used that as an excuse to not enter into his rest. But faith holds the word of God. Amen. Amen. Faith doesn't look at anything else other than the promise. Hebrews 4, 1-2, as we go on in there in Hebrews, he says, let us therefore fear. Or in other words, be concerned. Be wary. Be on guard. Amen? Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. This is something to be on alert about. Amen? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. They had a promise, just like we've got a promise of the word of God. God gave them a promise just as much as he has us. And he's expecting us to hold on to it as much as he expected them to. He says that, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen. And what happened? As a result, they were unsettled. Because they didn't have faith in the promise that was made to them. They weren't walking in rest anymore. They were in an unsettled, wandering state. They wandered in the wilderness. Amen. Their lives were not settled down. They were pulled from one place to the next place to the next place. Amen. Some Christians that way, that's the way their lives are. They're pulled from one fear to the next fear. They're being ping pong battled by unbelief and devils. Amen. And they never fight back. They never push back. They're wandering in the wilderness. Searching for something to anchor their faith to. But the promise is here. Amen? The promise is where our faith should anchor. Amen. That's what we preach from this pulpit. We preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We preach the indwelling God in his people. We preach the Bible. We preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we believe. We believe every promise in the book, amen, concerning his people. But that word must be received and mixed with faith. Or else it does no good. We could have the best preachers in the world, amen. Judas had Jesus. Amen, it doesn't matter how good of a preacher you have. It's got to be received with faith. It's got to be believed. Amen. It's got to be accepted. It's got to have faith. Grab a hold of it and anchor it and say, that's for me. I believe that. Amen. That word might be going out for the whole congregation, but I'm hearing from God. And that promise is mine tonight. I believe that. Amen. Our rest is in a living faith. It's in a living God who's alive. And he's living among his people. Hallelujah. We can't allow our faith to rest in something else. Amen. Sometimes we will place our faith or our confidence in something else. And then it'll be shaken. And we're disappointed and we wonder what happened. We see someone fall and we say, how can that happen? Because our confidence was in that. Amen? Brother, sister, I believe that if we receive the Word of God every time it's preached, every time we hear it preached, every time we read it, if we receive it, we mix it with faith and we have confidence in it, it will come to pass. It will produce fruit in our lives. Amen? Israel saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of the cloud by day and the fire by night. They followed it. Amen? Talk about supernatural. But that revelation wasn't mixed with personal faith in their lives. And so they couldn't go in to receive their rest. Amen? An entire generation died out except for two. For lack of personal faith in God's promise. And they had Moses. Amen? They walked through the Red Sea. They saw all manner of miracles in God providing for them. But we each must receive God's word for ourselves. Amen? We must take a hold of it and believe it. And then receiving that, it becomes our resting place. It becomes the place where we repose. We lie down and we trust it. Amen? When you lean back on something, you're trusting that thing is going to hold you up. Amen? You're trusting that this is a safe place. I'm not going to fall to the ground. I'm not going to be attacked or something. You can't have rest if you're constantly worried. Right? Everybody knows that. Everybody's tried to, I'm sure, tried to fall asleep and you're with things on your mind, right? You're thinking about things of the day. You can't. It's hard, right? You're trying to rest your mind. You're trying to bring it down to a place where you're not thinking about those things, where you're not worried about those things, so that you can fall asleep and that you can rest. Amen? Because rest only comes when you come to a place where you're not worried about those things. In the natural, we would call that repose. Amen? Hallelujah. So our faith becomes our resting place. Now let's look, continue here in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day of this wise, God did rest on the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen? I like how Paul starts it. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Amen? That's a good company to be with Paul. We who have believed. Amen? Amen? And so here he's quoting Old Testament scripture where God is saying they will not enter in to this resting place, though it has been prepared and spoken of, a promise all the way from the start at creation when God rested from his labors. That seventh day typing a day of rest for us. Amen? Made available, but unbelief kept the people from it. Even though it was spoken of all the way back at creation, God, from the very beginning, put that promise in there and showed it in type all the way through. And it's there in the scripture. And God's scripture can't be broken. Amen. Amen? So the promise still stands. But it has to be accepted. Amen? That's why he's saying this was an amazing thing. They had come so far and God had made it so clear. And yet, they hardened their hearts. He said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen? Unbelief takes many different forms. Anointed devils will try and anoint you, amen, and erode your faith and get your attention on other things other than the Word of God to try and keep you from what God's promise is for you. Religious devils will put up stumbling blocks. They will allow things to happen to get your eyes off of that Word, to get your eyes off of Christ, to looking at things happening in the church, to look at things happening in people and families and in different situations. But instead, we have to steadfastly look at the promise. Amen? Some of these religious devils will even prop up false servants. Amen? Claiming to speak for God. And they will make it harder for people to receive the word from true servants. It will make it hard for those real servants of God to get to the people because they've been so poisoned by false servants. Amen? He can try anything he gets to point you away from the promise, from the word. Amen. But Paul has said, today, when you hear his voice, when the word calls out to you, amen, when the word is preached through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when you hear that, he said, don't harden your hearts to it. Receive it. Be soft and gentle. Be receiving. Be receptive to it. Amen? Accept it as it is God speaking to you. When the Spirit's drawing you, that's the time to move. That's the time to step out. Because he's got a purpose behind it. Amen? And if he's drawing you, he's calling you for a reason. There's a response to that. Amen? He's got something for you. He doesn't just call and say, oh, never mind, I didn't really have anything for you today. No, he's calling because he has something for you. Amen. That's the time to step out in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. We can be assured tonight, brother, sister, that if there's a desire, a draw, a call for rest for our souls, there's a resting place tonight. Amen. So he's expressed this and typed it starting in creation, but he's typed it all through the scripture as the Sabbath, that time of rest. Amen. So let's look at Mark chapter 2, verse 23. He says, and it came to pass, so this is speaking of Jesus, of course, that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They weren't supposed to be working, right? But here they are harvesting corn, right? But they were just taking enough to eat because they had to eat. And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, and he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave them also to them that were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In other words, that rest was provided for man. It's supposed to be a time of rest. And God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord of your rest. Amen? Amen? That's what the Sabbath represents. So, we don't, you know, while we look at Sunday as a day of rest, it's not truly the Sabbath for us. The Sabbath for us is in the Lord. Right. Amen. Sunday as the first day of the week, it's honoring the resurrection. But the Sabbath is a spiritual experience that we have. Amen. Where we come to a place of complete and total confidence that the Lord is looking after our soul. That we've placed our soul entirely in His hands. We've placed our lives in His hands. Amen? We've placed that next problem that's facing us in our hands. We've placed our loved ones in His hands. Amen. We've placed our health in His hands. We've placed our next meal in His hands. Providing, paying for the rent, making the car payment in His hands. What we're going to do with their children, we've placed that in His hands. Amen? Every one of our family members that we're worried about and thinking about and stressed about, we place that in His hands, knowing that He is the God of the Sabbath, the God of our rest. Amen. And He has provided a rest for us if we're willing to give it to Him. Hallelujah. Let's look at this statement here from the Message. Brother Branham says, some man wrote me, this is from Results of Decision. That's a really nice title, isn't it? He says, some man wrote to me a letter. He says, I got it today and said, Brother Branham, do you keep the seventh day Sabbath? I heard this morning that in that breakfast that you eat sausage and eggs and said, a holy man like you eats sausage? And I kind of like sausage myself, amen? Bacon. Oh, we're getting hungry now. Amen. He says, well, brother, I love you with all my heart, but if I never did no more than eat sausage, it'd never keep me out of heaven. Notice, brother, he says, keeping the Sabbath day, it's all right if you want to do it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to keep that natural Sabbath day, go ahead, right? It's all right if you want to do it. He says, but I make it a principle in the pulpit to talk about nobody's religion. He says, that's right. But for the sake of it now, I say this, that the Sabbath day keeping was only a shadow of the real Sabbath. And God would have given them the Sabbath right there when they crossed the Jordan. Jordan represents death. And when you're ready to die out to yourself, God will give you Sabbath. See that? When you're ready to make the trade. Amen? When you're ready to hand the keys over to Him, you're ready to die out to yourself, he said, God will give you Sabbath. Amen. He'll give you that rest. He says, I said, the Sabbath is the Holy Ghost. He said, oh, nonsense. The Sabbath is a day. I said, it was at one time, limited to a certain people. But today, the Sabbath is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. He said, oh, it can't be. Why? He said, well, God gave the day and sealed it with memorial that it was a day keeping. I said, for a people. But today, Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. The Holy Ghost is a seal of God that'll be upon the forehead or in the knowledge in the hand, the works of every person that's took into the kingdom of God will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The seal of God in these last days is a distinction, a mark that'll be put upon the people. Wish we had about a week's revival on that. Now, you know what a distinction is? A distinction where he says that, a distinction or a mark. Obviously, we know that that's not a physical mark. He said it's a knowledge or a revelation, right? A distinction is something where you're taking something and making it different than another thing, right? It's distinct. It sticks out. It doesn't look the same. One of these things is not like the other. Like the little kids' song goes, right? All these things look the same and there's something that's sticking out that doesn't look the same. That's a distinction. That's what we are. That's what the Holy Ghost does to us. It gives us a distinction. And you know what one of those distinctions is? One of the distinguishing marks. We'll put it that way. The distinguishing marks of a believer. No, it's not a birthmark. No, they don't look better. Sorry. It's not that they don't lose their hair when they get older. It's not that they don't get wrinkles. Amen. It's nothing like that. Nothing physical. What is it? One of the distinguishing marks is they have peace that passes understanding. Amen. That they live their lives in a place of rest. Amen. That they live their lives in dependence on Jesus Christ. Amen. They live their lives in trust. And no matter what's happening in their lives, they always come back to that. Amen. That's a distinction, a distinguishing mark. Amen? Thank you, Lord. something that they have that the world doesn't. So you see, the Pharisee version of the Sabbath was the Sabbath was that man was made for the Sabbath, right? But Jesus said, no, the Sabbath was made for man. The whole point is to give it to us. Amen? It wasn't supposed to be a hardship. It wasn't supposed to be a duty. It wasn't supposed to be a weight, a burden, but it became a burden because of what man did to it. And brother, sister, people have used the message this way. They've made it a yoke, a burden. Amen? They've put a hardship on people. They've weighted them down. Well, you've got to act like, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Amen? A drudgery. But it's something that's for our benefit. The Sabbath was meant to recharge the people. It was to the natural Sabbath. You understand that the seventh day was supposed to be a day of rest, where they would rest and recharge and they would worship God, and it was for their benefit. It wasn't a drudgery. Amen? Their bodies needed that. They worked hard. Their lives were hard, a lot harder than ours. Amen? And they needed that physical rest. Just like God rested on the seventh day from his labors. Amen? But it was also a time of communion with him. So you see, a blessing, something that was supposed to be so good and something to look forward to, something that was wonderful in a time of fellowship with God, man took it and they made it a burden upon the people. They made it a way where they could come down on them, where they could point their finger, wag their finger at them and say, you're not good enough and you're not holy. Amen? And of course, the truth was they weren't without him. But that wasn't the purpose of it. Amen? Sunday is like this to us. Amen? Church is that way. Our gospel is that way. We don't take the word of God to try and cut somebody down with it. That's not what it was sent for. That's not the purpose of it. It's sent to come and cleanse the body, yes. It's sent to come and bring conviction of sin, yes. But only so that you would make the trade. So that you would give it up. You say, only to show you that what you're holding in your hand, your own good works, only to show a light on it and say, you really want to hold on to that? Compared to this that I have for you? You really want to just hold on to your pathetic little efforts? Paul said, mine are dung. Amen? But yet people do that in Christianity, and they do it in this message. It's the same everywhere that this word of God has gone. Where people will rise up and use the word of God to beat people down. Yeah. Amen? To lord over them. Right. To place a burden upon them. Where Jesus is trying to lift the burden off of them. Right. Amen? Now we know this is not an excuse to live wrong. Of course not. But just placing a burden of rules on somebody doesn't make them live right. The only way you can get right is by taking that and giving it to him. Amen. And letting him change us. Amen. Amen? We should do and observe everything that's in the word according to holiness. And we want to live right. And we want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Amen? But it doesn't do us any good if we're just doing that with our own strength. We should be doing it because it's our nature to do it. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not eternally secure because I'm following rules. Right. I'm eternally secure because I'm born again. Yes. And because I'm born again, I live a certain way. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's the rest that I have in my soul. Amen. It's not, my rest isn't, well, I did a good job this week. Amen? I was I was obedient to the word and I didn't fail here and I, man, praise God, I overcame there and that's my rest. I mean, you can be happy about that. That's fine. But that isn't your rest. Your rest is that you're born again. And if you're not born again, be born again. And that will be your rest. Because if you're resting in those works, you'll be up and down. Up and down. Amen? The born-again believer's relationship with God doesn't go up and down because it's based on what He has done for you. Amen? Amen? Now, brother, sister, there's many sincere Pharisees. Amen? You know, Saul was a sincere Pharisee. Do you know that? He sincerely thought he was right. He wanted to serve. He was doing what he thought was right. Amen? Think about it. He was zealous for God, doing what he thought was right. He had the word of God and that as much as he knew, and he was stepping out on it, and he was zealous about it. He was a sincere Pharisee. And yet what he was actually doing was fighting against the word of God. He was actually doing harm to the move of God. And yet sincere. Amen. Is that right? He was living by the law, and he was measuring his spirituality on his ability to carry out the law. He was resting in his own ability. Many in this message do the same thing. Amen? They're not born of the Spirit, but they're resting in their own perceived spirituality. Man, they can quote you quotes. They've got a story or two about a grandpa or an uncle. Amen? Nothing wrong with those stories, but we certainly don't have any rest for our souls in those things. Amen? Living in the wilderness of sanctification. You know what that's like? It's just you're going from one place to the other. Amen? Not crossing over and dying out. Crossing over Jordan. In that place, brother, sister, with the sincere Pharisee, it's an unsettled place. Amen? Nothing is, you could never quite be good enough. Amen? You can never quite serve God fervently enough. You can never quite measure up and never quite achieve and never quite get to that place where I just know that it's settled. Amen? Not sure whether you're sealed or not. Feel like you could just mess up at any time and I don't know, I could just go out in the world. Amen? There's no rest in that. That's not what God promised us. Amen? What He's promised us is complete rest for our soul. Still striving to enter into that rest. Salvation is not made sure. It's still kind of a gray area. Amen? Many will fall away while in that condition, thinking that they had crossed over. Thinking they had something that they didn't. Yet, walking in their own strength, and eventually they fall. But once you cross over, you can never go back. Amen? I won't go back. Why? Because I can't go back. Let's read Hebrews 4, verse 8. He says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day?" So, you know, they were just the type. Amen? He says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Hallelujah. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." He stopped trying to save himself. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." It's a paradox that we have to labor to enter into rest. It's hard to die. it's hard to lay our self-determination down, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, he's actually speaking of Joshua, right? If Joshua had given them that rest. A type of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us how that physical rest that Joshua gave to Israel is typing the rest that's available today, right now. Amen? Hallelujah. In the wilderness of sanctification, they were holding on by their own strength, relying on works, doing the mechanical things. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing something mechanically. And by mechanically, we mean, you know, if you don't have revelation or you're not doing it led of the Spirit, you're just doing it because it's in the Bible. An example would be you can read in the Bible where it says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just a mechanical thing that you can do. I see it. I read it in the scripture. Brother Bram said, you don't even need a revelation. You can just read it. You can read it and say, well, God said to do it, and I'm going to do it. Right? That's a mechanical thing. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I can come to church. I can do those things. Read your Bible. Pray. Right? We can do those things. But we're doing those things, trusting that God is going to come on the scene. Amen. Doing the mechanical things is the labor to enter in. We're doing our part. We're doing everything we know to trust God, to obey God, to let Him then come and bless what we've done. Amen. To move and to work on our mechanical steps. We take a step forward. We do what He said and trust Him. We lay it before Him. Amen. We actively root out unbelief in our lives. We go through our lives, we pray, we say, Lord, what about this situation? And try my heart. Lord, how am I feeling towards this person? What's my attitude toward this situation and this person? Lord, cleanse my heart if it's not right. Right? We're actively doing that. That's mechanics that we do. Amen? Those are things that we're supposed to be, we're removing those hindrances to make preparation. Amen? But then he comes and drops the revelation in. Hallelujah. You pray about that situation. We've all been there, right? That situation that's preying on your mind and it's stealing your joy and it's stealing your rest and you're praying about it and you're making sure, Lord, you're trying, you're going through every scenario. Lord, did I do this wrong? If I did, please forgive me. I repent and I make it right with this person and I apologize to that person and I'm doing everything possible that I can do and I'm making sure that my heart is right, that my attitude is right. I'm praying for the people involved. I'm making sure, Lord, make sure, Lord, help me that I don't let a root of bitterness. I don't have anything against them. Amen. These are all things that we do, brother, sister, but then when we've gone as far as we can go, we're relying on Him then to come and to drop that rest in our soul. Amen? Right? Where we go through all of that, but then He comes on the scene. Amen? He comes on the scene. And He changes the whole situation. Maybe the situation itself didn't even change, but suddenly it's changed. Amen? Suddenly you have rest. Suddenly peace like a river comes over you. Suddenly now it's all going to be fine. It drops into your soul. He's got this. Amen? I've done everything that I can do to make sure that I'm handing it over to Him. I'm not holding on to it. And suddenly He comes and He takes that burden and He lifts it off of you. And He says, here, my child, let me just lift that from you. Let me just lift that from your life. Amen. And what He gives you back is peace and rest. Amen. In Isaiah 28, He says, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. There's nothing good in man's enterprise. Amen. Man's best is full of vomit and filthiness. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and draw from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, and line upon line, and here a little and there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to the people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. That's the refreshing. He's speaking about that pouring out, that revelation that comes by the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is the rest that gives rest to the weary. And that is the refreshing. And yet they wouldn't receive it. That refreshing is not a burden. It's life bubbling up. Amen? It's a wellspring of water. It's the weary laying down their own striving and surrendering to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not just a one-time thing, brother, sister. It is. We have to do that to be born again, for sure. But this is something that we experience in our lives. Continually laying down our burdens. Amen. From the unfailing realities of God, He says, the Bible said, with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the rest of the soul. Amen. This is the thing that will come. Isaiah 28:18, read it, that's what we just read. He says, with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. This is the rest, not Sunday. Ain't the rest day. The Holy Spirit is the rest day. You Advent brothers, not the seventh day Sabbath is the rest. The Holy Spirit is the rest. Amen. With stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. This is the Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. This is the rest to the soul. You have eternal rest. Like God, when He made the world, the seventh day, He rested after that. He rested and went on resting. And when we enter God, we rest all the time. Amen. Not from one Sunday to another. So many people live from one revival to another. If you're living that way, you're not in the Holy Ghost. He says, we rest all the time. We rest eternal. We got eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives you rest. We rest all the time. Why? Because we're completely safe. Nothing can harm our souls. We're not worried about being lost. Amen. We're not worried about being at enmity with God. We're not worried what's going to happen to us. We have peace. Amen. We have rest. Yes. We're not worried that any devil can get to us. Amen? Yeah. We're not worried because we know that any devil that comes into our lives or affects our lives, God has allowed it for our good and for our benefit. And that devil can only go so far. Amen. And that we have the victory over that devil. Amen. We know that our soul is locked up forever and safe. Amen. We know that it's not dependent on other people. Our rest, we don't rest in other people and other people's strength. We're not shaken when other people fail because we're not leaning on them. Amen. Let me just read you a couple more quotes here and we'll just finish up with this. He says, this is from Revelation chapter 5, part 2. He says, Ruth was resting, and it was a type of the church resting in the promises of God. We have the earnest now of our salvation. We're not worried whether we're going over there or not. We're going. Amen. If we're worried about it, then get it settled. If you're not sure whether you're going over there or not, get it settled. You should be able to say tonight, I'm going. If you can't say that, you can settle it. We're not worried. And by the way, if you can't say that, you should be worried. got quiet there, right? If it is settled, you're not worried. We're not worried about whether we're going over there or not. We're going. That's right. God said so. We're going. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're going. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. You're going. Amen. Who cares what the world does? Who cares what politics does? Amen. Who cares who the president is or isn't? Who cares what China does? Who cares what Russia does? Who cares? We're going. That's right. God said so. God promised it. He says, and we've got the earnest. Done, been received. The earnest is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christ has accepted us. No way to get away from it now. We're there. You see how sure this is? If we've made it sure. Amen? Amen. All you have to do is wait till he's done doing the kinsman redeemership, and we have the earnest of it now, waiting for the time when he comes back. And then what's the next thing Ruth was rewarded. And that's what the church did. It entered into justification under Luther. Then it went into sanctification under Wesley. Went into the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this last days. And now resting with the earnest of our inheritance, we know that something happened in us. We've passed from death to life. And we're waiting. And groaning with nature for that time when we will receive an immortal life or an immortal fullness. Our bodies will be redeemed, everything will be redeemed, and we're just waiting from him to return back from the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in the church dedication, he says, oh, that perfect rest, to come from the congregation to the altar, from the altar to the bosom of Christ. Amen. The bed, the night, the secret place, the resting place. You see how he says that? You come from the congregation to the altar. From the altar to the bosom of Christ. That's the order of it. Amen? Amen. We come to church. You're in the congregation. Something draws you. Something pulls you further. You come. You lay down on the altar. You come to him. From there, that surrender, that place of letting go, you come to the bosom of Christ. Amen. That resting place, he says. Justification, Martin Luther taught it. Sanctification, Wesley taught it. And now the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Pentecost taught it. But the Holy Spirit enter into an everlasting, eternal rest. As long as you are in that room, you are hid away in the holiest of holies with God. And you are in the church of the firstborn. You are baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are free from judgment. Oh, what a place of rest. You have passed through the blood and said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're not worried about going to a white throne. We're not worried about judgment. We receive our judgment now, passed from death into life. Brother Branham says, and Christ took your judgment and you'll never have to go through judgment. You've passed from death into life. So to enter into the true abiding place of God is by spiritual baptism. Yes. That's what we've been talking about. Amen. The true abiding place of God by spiritual baptism. It's a paradox how we can be perfectly at peace and rest in the midst of the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. We often talk about that. We know we're in a battle. We're in the greatest battle ever fought. But yet, in perfect rest. Amen. 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 Just one more here. This is from the message, Why Are People So Tossed About? Let's go ahead and stand tonight. Amen. He says, musicians, if you'd come. He says, I was saying somewhere, maybe here a few nights ago, he said, I wanted to preach so bad, I preached to my wife in bed till about 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. Just telling her how glorious Jesus was. A text come in my heart, That's not a text on the phone, right? A text, scripture text. Come in my heart. It takes on a whole different meaning now, doesn't it, when you say a text? It didn't go ding. No. A text, come in my heart. It went ding in there. Amen? And it kept burning me so great till I just couldn't rest with it. And I said, honey, I want to preach to you a little while. And she roused up by grace and she listened. And I said, the Christian faith is based solidly upon rest. The Christian faith is based solidly upon rest. That's right. A Christian is not tossed about. Amen. You need to have that as your testimony. I am not tossed about. I will not be tossed about. I will not let circumstances toss me about. He says a Christian doesn't run from place to place. Right? The Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer at Calvary. That's right. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments. But the Christian's at rest, knowing this, that God is able to keep that which he has performed. Knowing that no matter what the thing is or how it looks, there's neither sickness, sorrow, death. There's neither starvation nor anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus Christ. We're at rest. Just let the old ship toss any way she wants to. That anchor will hold. Amen. I come by a harbor one time and seen that. We was flying in a plane and coming down low, and there was a great big old ship there, and the sails had let down, you know, and oh, what a storm on the sea, and my, she was just tossing. And I seen that old ship rocking back and forth, and some of the waves would go in, and some of the waves would go under and everything, and I said, I wonder why that is. And a fellow sitting there said, it's got a sea anchor on it. Therefore, he said, that ship can't sink. He said, it can go through the waves, but it can't sink because it's anchored. Amen. I said, oh, praise be to God. Yeah. Amen. We got an anchor. Some waves can go over, some waves can go under, but regardless, if the anchor holds, it isn't the ship doing the holding, it's the anchor doing the holding. It isn't what I am or what I will be or what I was, it's what he is now and what he did for me and you. And it ain't what I can do, it's what he has done. My faith doesn't anchor in what the coming meetings will be. My faith doesn't rest in any ability that I would have or upon what church I should join or what people I should associate with. My faith anchors and rests entirely on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's already been received. Our faith should be and is based solely on that rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus expressed to us in the scripture, he said, take no thought. Take no thought for tomorrow. Right? The birds of the field and the field and the animals, they're provided for. They don't worry about it. Doesn't your Father know you have needs of these things? What was he saying? He's like, rest in me. Trust in me. I know what you need. I am aware what you're going through. I'm aware of the strain and the stress and the things that you're under. I'm aware of that. Amen. Now, just trade that in. Amen. Amen? We'll just finish with this thought here tonight. You know, we've probably, many of us have traded in a vehicle before. Right? You go to the dealer and you say, oh, I want to buy a new car and I got this old dump thing. Right? And I've had, you know, cars that I have a tender conscience, you know, and I had an old vehicle, it wasn't running very well and had this problem and that problem, whatever, and I went to trade it in and it's like, okay, I'm gonna buy this new car and I'm trading it in. And I'm telling them everything that's wrong with it. Well, are you sure you want to take it? Because it has this problem. They're like, we don't care. And it has this, and you know, I'm trying to be honest, right? It's got this and it's got, you know what? They didn't care. Yeah, whatever. Just give it to us. The guy didn't want to hear it. Whatever. Trade it in. Right? I had to give them a few dollars, right? And then they gave me a different car. But Jesus says, just trade it in. And it won't cost you anything. Amen? It'll just cost you surrender. Oh, my Lord, but this problem... Just trade it in. But you don't understand how... Trade it in. Amen? Trade it in. Take my yoke. Give me your old yoke. But Lord, nope, just give it to me. Amen? Hand it over. But Lord, you don't understand that, you know, this in my... Who's going to worry about it if I... Nope. Hand it over. Trade it in. We are to be like children, relying completely on Him. Amen? And a child doesn't wonder, well, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. No, they just go into the kitchen and get it out of the fridge. Amen? They know that their parents are taking care of them. I was thinking about this when we were going through this with Isaac. We got guardianship of him. We had to go through a court process. And he... As an adult, because when he became an adult, we had to become guardians, right? So you get the court involved, and then he has to get a lawyer, and he has to meet with the lawyer, and he has to tell the lawyer. The lawyer says, do you want to give up your rights to have your parents take care of you? And he has to say yes, right? Okay. But once he does that, he's not responsible anymore. He's given up his rights. Amen? He's laid them down. And now the guardian is responsible for him. The guardian has to report back to the court. Yep, we're taking care of this. We're making sure that he's healthy. He gets checkups, doctor checkups. He gets food. He has a place to stay. Every need is taken care of. That's the guardian's job. Amen? Because the rights were laid down. Brother, sister... Lay down your rights tonight. Amen. Amen. You have a right as a free moral agent to choose to reject his offer. Amen. But you lay it down. And you say, Lord, I surrender my rights tonight. I have a right to worry about this problem. You do. If you want to hold on to it, you can. And he won't force you to give it up. But you lay that right down and say, Lord, I don't want to be the one in charge of this. He'll take it. Amen? We lay down our rights to direct our own lives. And he becomes responsible for you. Amen? That laying down your right to direct your life is giving him your yoke. And taking his yoke and accepting his peace and rest. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, you're so good to us, Lord. We're so thankful tonight that we have a place to run to, Lord. A place of peace and rest, Father, where we can just surrender to you. Let you have your way, O God. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have anything figured out. We just have to trust you. Cast our cares on you, for you care for us, Lord. What a promise that you've made to us. Oh God, what a trade. Where we would take all of our brokenness, all the mess of our lives, Lord, and just hand it over. In exchange, Lord, we receive your peace. Oh, thank you so much, Lord. You're so good to us. I pray, Lord God, that your word would find good bedding ground tonight, Lord. Something that was said that would help somebody, Father. That we would receive it, Lord. That we would walk in it, God. I believe that you're calling tonight. You're reaching out, Lord, because there There are those, Lord, your people that need to let go. There needs to be a greater surrender. A greater letting go in their lives, Father. I pray that you help each one, Lord. Father, your servant said, Lord, from the congregation to the altar, into the bosom of Christ, receiving the peace that you give. Oh, how we thank you, Lord. What a blessing it is, oh God, in this time of trouble, Lord, in this time of stress, we can have a peace and a rest through the midst of the storm. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just commit this word into your hands tonight. May your Spirit water it, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. I wonder if tonight if we could sing, Lord, I Run to You. Lord, I run to You. Be of good cheer. Be of